About podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, it just makes me so happy when people come up to me and say, hey, I saw you on that Pella commercial on TV. I love it. I love all the people at Pella. I love the people are seeing that. My experience with Pella was top notch with the work they did in my home. The showroom in Omaha was amazing. The service, the finished product, it just was first class the entire way. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Shoot 360 Lincoln. My brother and I are owners of the world's most advanced basketball training facility right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a membership-based national franchise that uses NBA-level technology that provides real-time feedback after every single shooting, passing, and ball handling rep you take inside of our facility. And we got a brand new website that is really slick. Check us out. Shoot360Lincoln.com. Shoot360Lincoln.com. You can learn more about the facility, the technology, what we offer, camps, clinics, classes, and so much more. Check us out, shoot360lincoln.com. That's shoot360lincoln.com. Okay, NCAA tournament preview going region by region, and on this pod, we are talking about the Midwest region. It is going to be fascinating to see how this NCAA tournament plays out, because throughout the regular season, we had an incredible amount of top 10 teams losing to unranked teams on the road. Like, it was nuts. It seemed like every single night you turn on the TV, there was a court storming because of a crazy upset. And even though for the most part, UConn, Houston, and Purdue kind of separated themselves over the course of the regular season, parity was really prevalent throughout the last handful of months. And that remained the case in the conference tournaments as well. We saw a ton of upsets in the conference tournaments with bid thieves all over the place. So, you know, the question is, will this tournament be similar to the conference tournaments and the regular season with upsets and craziness? Will chalk prevail? Will the cream rise to the top and these higher seeds will roll? I don't know. On this pod, it's the Midwest region. Couple of things to keep in mind before I give all of my picks. I always love to give this. Since KenPom started in 2002, Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com, college basketball analytics website that is just incredible. Since KenPom started in 2002, every national champion but one has been top 25 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Eight teams this year fall under that criteria. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Auburn, Arizona, North Carolina, Creighton, and Marquette. In this region, the Midwest region, there are two teams that fit that criteria, Purdue and Creighton. Tennessee just missed the cut. By the way, for this, Tennessee was 29th in offensive efficiency and third in defense. So close, but not quite there. But in this region, you got the one seed Purdue, two seed Tennessee, three seed Creighton, and the four seed Kansas Jayhawks. Interesting matchups in this one. So let's do it. I'm picking every game, Midwest region. Here we go. Purdue versus the play-in game winner. I think it'll probably be Montana State. But I can't imagine in any scenario that Purdue isn't totally locked in after losing to a 16 seed last year in Fairleigh Dickinson. By the way, do you realize the perfect storm of circumstances around that upset with Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue? So keep this in mind. Merrimack won the NEC conference tournament, but Merrimack was transitioning to Division I. And wasn't eligible for the postseason, for the NCAA tournament. So even though Merrimack won, that sent Fairleigh Dickinson to the tournament instead, which then went to go play Purdue. Fairleigh Dickinson full court pressed. They were a bad draw stylistically for Purdue, and the rest was history. Just kind of crazy to think about. But I think Purdue wins here. 8 seed, Utah State. 9 seed, TCU. So Utah State, they have a new coach in Danny Sprinkle, who was at Montana State last year. He got the Utah State job, and he brought two of his best players from Montana State with him in Great Osabor and Darius Brown. So I actually called the Big Sky Championship game with those players last year on Westwood One. I was in Boise. I was courtside for Montana State's win over Northern Arizona. So I saw Danny Sprinkle, Great Osabor, Darius Brown. And I remember leaving that game thinking, man, Great Osabor, that guy's a player. Darius Brown's tough. Danny Sprinkle can coach. Well, here we are 1 year later, and all of them go to Utah State, and Utah State won the Mountain West regular season crown. Danny Sprinkle was the Mountain West coach of the year. Great Osabor was the Mountain West player of the year, and I am not surprised at all. Now, they will have their hands with TCU. I had the Horned Frogs at Georgetown on Fox in December. That's a deep team. That's an athletic team. TCU isn't huge inside the way they've been in years past. And I think their two-point defense gets tested with great Osabor inside. He's a really unique big that can handle the ball and pass. I like Utah State in a close game over TCU. 5-seed Gonzaga, 12-seed McNeese State. So I love me some Ryan Nemhard, former Blue Jay who transferred to Gonzaga, really good player. But this is the first year in a while that when you watch Gonzaga play, they don't have a big-time stud on their team. You know, they don't have a Chet Holmgren, a Jalen Suggs, a Rui Hachimura. You know, like, they don't have a Drew Timmy. They don't have a superstar. I think this is actually one of the least talented Gonzaga teams in the last 5 to 10 years. And I think there's a reason they didn't win the WCC. St. Mary's did. I like Mark Few, but I think Gonzaga's one of the more overseeded teams in the field. They really have no great wins other than a win at Kentucky, which is really good. And that win at Kentucky in the middle of February might have saved their season. When you look at McNeese State, they're 30-3, and they are disruptive on defense. They're 6th nationally in turnover percentage. They play a slower pace. And although they don't take a ton of threes, they make a lot of them. They're 7th nationally in three-point percentage. Shada Wells for McNeese State is a good player. I just don't think this is an uber-talented Gonzaga team, and I think they get picked off here. I'll take McNeese in the upset. 4-seed Kansas, 13-seed Samford. Man, KU has had quite the roller coaster of a season. Keep in mind, Kansas was the preseason number one ranked team in the country. It was KU. And when they were healthy, they beat UConn, they beat Houston. Like, they were good. But they have just gotten crushed by the injury bug, and they have found themselves with a team that has no depth. Dickinson hurt his shoulder in the final regular season game. Kevin McCullough has been in and out of the lineup with a bone bruise over the last 6 weeks or so. They totally punted on the Big 12 tournament, didn't play McCullough or Dickinson. And now, Bill Self just announced that Dickinson will play in the NCAA tournament, but Kevin McCullough is out and done for the year. Massive news for KU. A team with no depth just lost their best player. And the matchup with this one is tough. Samford presses the whole game, which will test KU's depth and their ball handling. It is a brutal draw. Plus, Samford can really shoot the three. 8th nationally in three-point percentage. And it's just, if Dickinson is healthy at all, and DeJuan Harris plays 40 minutes and handles the ball, I expect Harris to be able to do that. I think Kansas, even though it kind of makes no sense, I think Kansas finds a way to pull a win out. And I think it's largely because of Bill Self. I think it's a really hard matchup because Kansas's advantage is Dickinson, but he's banged up and size can get negated in a fast-paced, up-tempo game with a team that's pressing, right? Which that's what Samford does. So can Kansas handle the ball, not turn it over, and then get it inside to Dickinson? Those are tough tasks. But I think a Hall of Fame coach finds a way to eke out a win. Maybe it's my rock chalk blood in me, but I'll take KU to find a way. I got them finding a way to win. 6-seed South Carolina, 11-seed Oregon. Well, Dana Altman did it again, didn't he? This guy's just the master at conference tournaments, especially when he knows he has to win it to get to the NCAA tournament. He is just he did it at Creighton. He's done it at Oregon now. I mean, he's just amazing. Oregon was magnificent at the Pac-12 tournament. They beat UCLA, they beat Arizona, and they beat Colorado to punch their ticket to the dance. The Ducks have been crushed with injuries all year. That's been the main reason they've been a little disappointing. They basically have only 8 healthy scholarship players right now. But those 8 guys are confident and hot. Dante Enfali is a monster inside for Oregon. He went 12-for-12 in the Pac-12 championship game. 12-for-12. And I'm telling you, I played for the guy. Coach Altman he's a tough coach to go against because he gets his guys to peak and maximize at the right time. He's incredible at controlling the tempo of the game. He could speed it up. He could slow it down. Now, South Carolina likes to play super slow, so Dana might try to speed it up at times. South Carolina ranks 354th out of 362 teams in tempo. They're one of the slowest teams in the country. South Carolina doesn't shoot it great. I think Oregon is comfortable in a slow-paced game if it gets there. A lot of teams aren't. Oregon is. And I think Oregon's matchup zone flusters South Carolina. They don't shoot it well. I like Oregon to stay hot and upset South Carolina and move on to the second round. Big news, I'm excited to be working with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today and use the referral code BAH, my last name, B-A-H-E. That's referral code BAH, B-A-H-E. See you at the game. 3 seed, Creighton. 4 seed, 14 seed, Akron. So when you look at Akron, if you're looking at the positives with that team, Akron, they're experienced and old. 3 of their 5 starters were on an NCAA tournament team 2 years ago that almost beat UCLA. So they have NCAA experience and pedigree. Their stud, Enrique Freeman, at 6'7", he leads the country in rebounds at 12.9 per game. So basically 13 rebounds a game. He was the MAC player of the year. He's a 4-time MAC all-defense team. He was the MAC defensive player of the year last year, and that's not bad for a former walk-on. Pretty incredible. Ali Ali is Akron's second leading scorer, 15 points per game. He was first team All-MAC. He's kind of got an interesting story. He was at Akron 2 years ago, and then he transferred to Butler last year, struggled all year. He broke his nose early in the year, and he just never really got on track. He didn't play very much at Butler, and then he goes back to Akron, and he's had a good year. And then there's Greg Tribble. He's their starting point guard. He was on the MAC all-defense team. And when you match them up with Creighton, you're looking at one of the best big threes in the country with Creighton, Kalkbrenner, Alexander, Shireman. Shireman was just voted a third-team All-American. Kalkbrenner, 3-time defensive Big East Defensive Player of the Year. Trey Alexander might be the best NBA prospect. And for me, I look at this and I'm like, okay, I see 6'7" Enrique Freeman. He's basically their 5-man. Versus 7'1", 3-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, Ryan Kalkbrenner. And the reality is for Akron to win this game, Freeman has to score and dominate on the glass and in the paint and score over Kalkbrenner. And I just don't see it. I don't see how he's going to be able to score on Kalkbrenner with regularity. So I think Kalkbrenner is able to shut down Freeman for the most part, and then I don't think Akron can score enough. So I think Creighton wins pretty comfortably. 7 seed, Texas. 10 seed, Colorado State, who just won their play-in game. Texas, they got 3 really good players. Max Asemus, Tyrese Hunter, Dylan Dessou. And I had Texas at Kansas this year on Westwood 1. And watching them on film and seeing them in person, I was a little disappointed because, man, on paper, they appear to be talented. Asemus led Oral Roberts to the Sweet 16 a few years ago as one of the best scorers in the country. Tyrese Hunter is a really tough, gritty guard. Dessou was great on Texas's run to the Elite Eight last year. And when you look at Colorado State, I had them on FS1 in early January, and I left pretty impressed. What's weird with Colorado State, they aren't overly talented other than Isaiah Stevens at the point guard spot, who is really talented and a total freaking stud. But the other guys are just okay. You know, it's a couple of Division II transfers, even a Division III transfer. But, man, they execute and they play with purpose and they play together. They are one of those teams that, like, the sum of their parts are greater than the individual pieces. They really play well as a team. I think the best player on the floor is on Colorado State's roster, and I think it's Isaiah Stevens. I think it's a close game late, and I think Stevens makes all the big plays for Colorado State to pull out a tough one over Texas. I'll take Colorado State. 2 seed Tennessee, 15 seed St. Peter's. I love Tennessee. I've loved them all year. And listen, this isn't Shaheen Holloway, St. Peter's Peacocks from a couple of years ago. Tennessee wins big and gets to the second round. 1 seed Purdue, 8 seed Utah State. So, really, really fun matchup inside between Zach Edey and great Osabor. I told you about Osabor at Utah State. He can do a lot of different things. He can face up and dribble drive with his size that will give Zach Edey some issues. But ultimately, I think that what happens is Zach Edey does what Zach Edey does, and he gets great Osabor into foul trouble. He does that with every team they play. It's incredible how Edey just racks up fouls and gets everybody in foul trouble and fouls everybody out of the game. Purdue is relentless to throw it inside to him. I think Purdue is razor sharp given what they've done or they did last year in the first weekend. I think they punched through the Sweet 16 and beat Utah State. 4 seed Kansas, 12 seed McNeese State. So, man, I don't know what to do with this game. I really don't. That pod, Gonzaga, McNeese, Kansas, Samford, you could tell me any of those four teams advance, and I'd believe it, just because Gonzaga, I think, is overrated. Kansas is all banged up. And then McNeese and Samford, you know, they are what they are. They're pretty good low-major teams, but they're still McNeese and Samford, you know? But I got KU and McNeese here in the second round. KU's got so many questions with them. It's hard to hop on board with a team that just announced that their best player is out in McCuller, and their other star, Dickinson, is banged up. But with Kansas, if Dickinson is still capable, which I assume he is if he's going to be playing, you got a big-time 7-foot scorer inside with a national championship-winning point guard in DeJuan Harris, a tough-as-nails, super athletic four-man in KJ Adams, and a Hall of Fame college basketball coach in Bill Self. It wouldn't surprise me to see Kansas lose in the first round, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Bill Self coaches you-know-what off, find a way to patch together two wins and get to the Sweet 16. I'm going to bet on that. I'm going to bet on Bill Self, Dickinson, and Harris, and KJ Adams. I think those four guys just band together and find a way. Even though it feels like a stupid bet, give me KU to the Sweet 16. Okay. 3 seed, Creighton. 11 seed, Oregon. Dana Altman versus old team. Pretty juicy, even though it's already happened, by the way. People forget that. Coach Altman and Oregon played played Creighton 14 years ago in the CIT finals. Oddly enough, at the end of that, it's a best 2 out of 3, so they played them 3 times. Played them once at Creighton and then twice at Oregon. It was Greg McDermott's first year. But still, this is the NCAA tournament, so it'll definitely be a story, right? But I just think enough time has passed to make it not, like, I don't think it'll be super intense either, necessarily. Like, both Dana and Creighton have gone on to great things without each other. You know, Coach Altman went to the Final Four at Oregon and has been incredible in Eugene. Creighton has obviously had an amazing 14-year run with Greg McDermott. He was a home run hire. They moved to the Big East. You know, they've gone to the Elite Eight. So I think both individuals are entities, if you will. Dane Altman and Creighton are in great spots. But with this game, the slower pace, the three-quarter court press to a matchup zone, I think it'll bother Creighton a bit. You know, Dante and Folley against Kalkbrenner will be one hell of a matchup inside. But I just think Creighton's experience and IQ will solve the riddle of Oregon's changing defenses and matchup zone. Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman will find their way to free themselves up for perimeter jump shots. I think Creighton is able to knock off Oregon and move on to the Sweet 16. 2 seed Tennessee, 11 seed Colorado State. So the one thing Colorado State lacks is great size and athleticism inside. And Tennessee has some dudes. And by the way, Tennessee has a first-team All-American in Dalton Connect, who is an incredible scorer. Just incredible. 6'6", 6'7", just a gunner. I think Colorado State's lack of high-end talent and athleticism outside of Neat Clifford catches up to them. I love Tennessee. I love this team. I got the Vols winning and get to the Sweet 16. Okay, Sweet 16 matchups here. Number 1 seed, Purdue. 4 seed, Kansas. Hunter Dickinson versus Zach Edey will be fun. They've obviously battled numerous times in the Big Ten going against each other, Dickinson being a Michigan transfer. And obviously, Hunter Dickinson can hang with Zach Edey, but without Kevin McCullough, Kansas has a ceiling, and I think this is it. Lance Jones has been a great addition for Purdue, give them a little bit more athleticism on the perimeter. Braden Smith has taken a big step forward at that point guard spot. I think Purdue is better this year and poised to keep it rolling. I'll take Purdue over a banged-up Kansas team to move on to the Elite Eight. All right, 2-seed Tennessee, 3-seed Creighton. I'll be honest, I am sick that Tennessee has to play Creighton, just because y'all know I'm a former Blue Jay, but Tennessee has been one of my favorite teams all year. I think Tennessee is for real. But I actually think Creighton matches up decent with Tennessee. How about Baylor Shireman and Dalton Kennett going at it? Zakai Ziegler and Trey Alexander going at it? I mean, this one has fireworks written all over it. I think Creighton's ability to protect the paint and the rim with Kalkbrenner combined with the two guards of Shireman and Alexander is just a handful. The reality is, I know what I'm getting with Creighton's big three. Think about this. I was talking to John Bishop about this. Like, even if Trey Alexander has a bad game, he's still going to get like 15 points. It's pretty amazing. Like, you know what you're getting from Alexander, Shireman, and Kalkbrenner. Even, you know, but Kalk wasn't great, and he has like 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. So I know what I'm getting from Creighton's big three. The question for Creighton in this tournament is, can Creighton get some shot making from Ashworth, Farabello, and Mason Miller? And really, most specifically, Steven Ashworth. But really, those three guys, like, I know it's not super groundbreaking and super insightful, but look at the games where Steven Ashworth plays well and makes shots. They're really tough to beat. I think this whole March run kind of rides on Ashworth. If he plays well and they get just a little bit of efficient shot making from Farabello and Miller, Creighton gets good Ashworth, gets some production from Farabello and Miller and those guys, I think Creighton's going to make a run. And I think they will. I think Ryan Kalkbrenner protects the rim, scores at the rim. I think Alexander and Baylor Shireman are able to match the firepower from Tennessee. I think they'll be disciplined on Dalton Kennett. And I think Steven Ashworth makes enough shots to put Creighton over the top. I think this has a chance to be one of the best games in the tournament. Creighton and Tennessee. I'll take Creighton in a close one. All right, Elite Eight, regional final. 1-seed, Purdue. 3-seed, Creighton. Ryan Kalkbrenner versus Zach Edey. Oh my goodness. 3-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year versus the 2-time National Player of the Year. I assume Edey's going to get it again. Whoa. Let's go. The reality is this. I think Kalkbrenner can hang in there with Edey and slow him down. And a big part of Edey's game is drawing fouls. And Kalkbrenner doesn't foul. And neither does Creighton. Creighton leads the nation in fewest fouls per game. I think that is enormous in this matchup. If Kalkbrenner can neutralize Zach Edey and not foul, then I'll take Alexander and Shireman to dominate any other two-man combo you want to throw at them from Purdue. Creighton got to this game last year, got to the Elite Eight. They were 1 second away from going to the Final Four, and a bad foul call sent Creighton home. The big three, Kalkbrenner, Shireman, Trey Alexander, came back to Creighton to get back to this spot and knock that door down. And I think they do it. Greg McDermott coaches his ass off. The big three, with some help from Steven Ashworth, get it done. And I got Creighton beating Purdue in the Midwest Regional Final and going to the Final Four.
A Herd at Sports Network production.